Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on Long Island News Radio, and I'm talking to Kevin Dayhill. He's the president of the Nassau-Suffolk Council of Hospital Council, and we're talking about the whole structure of how he works with the hospitals. One of the things we talked about is cost and how we, you know, the costs are exorbitant and where the problems in the cost are. One of the things that to mitigate costs might be the more use of nurse practitioners. We have seen a pretty big increase in the number of practitioners, nurse practitioners, haven't we?
We have.
Do you have any negative feelings about that?
None at all. None at all. They serve an extremely useful purpose, and they, you know, we talked a little earlier about physician compensation and how it's highly variable, and at the non-interventional end, if you will, the gatekeeper end, there's a shortage of primary care physicians.
And they take that slack, don't they?
And they've picked that up and run with it. And slowly but surely, New York State has loosened some of the regulations that now allows them to practice a little bit more independently.
Were the doctors pretty instrumental in slowing that down?
Yes. Well, yes, they were. There's two camps of physicians. One that was very instrumental in trying to make sure the regulations were very tight so that they had to, the practitioners had to be supervised directly by the physicians. There's another camp of physicians that see the utility, particularly the surgeons, see the utility in having not so much nurse practitioners, but physician assistants who are much lesser trained, quite frankly, than nurse practitioners, but seeing having them in their offices and in the operating room with them. It's much less expensive than having another physician. So there's some support for what are called physician extenders, but there's a big difference between nurse practitioners and physician assistants that the public doesn't always come to realize. The level of education and training is far different.
In other words, it's more intense for a nurse
practitioner.
For
the nurse practitioner, absolutely, absolutely. So, but we've seen demonstration projects where nurse practitioners have actually established their own practices now and see patients.
And I read about that in, I think it was North Carolina, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it didn't catch on in this area back in those days.
Well, it didn't catch on because the physicians wouldn't let it catch on.
Yeah.
But that's starting to change now. And we'll see more of it, I believe, coming.
Well, you know, somebody told me that 95% of all the things that a doctor does is well within the scope of a nurse practitioner. And I don't know if the percentage is right, but...
Yeah, I don't know if that percentage is a little high, but I would say a lot of what a physician does, particularly the non-interventional physicians, not the surgical physicians, but certainly the medical physicians. And that includes prescribing medications. You know, there's an argument to be made that some of the nurse practitioners who have developed specialties, say in oncology, like mm-hmm. you were talking about earlier, they know the drugs sometimes better than the physicians do, and the implications for those drugs.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised about that because they do have a lot of training in mm-hmm. that particular area.
Right.
Now, I question why a doctor doesn't have the same level of training.
Well, the doctor has a good deal of training, but it's very often on a wide array of drugs. And, you know, here's an interesting thing to keep in mind. Who spends more time with the patients, the nurses, the nurse practitioners, or the physicians? When you think about it, even in our own life's experiences, if you've had the opportunity to be hospitalized and for any, you know, bit of time, you come to see that it's the nurses who go on in training to become nurse practitioners. They're spending the lion's share of time. They see patients' reactions to medications. Doctors just come in, order it, and they're on to their next patient or wherever they're going. But it's the nurses who really experience more of the full continuum of care. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and I I trust the level of let's say judgment when people know the patient intimately.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're watching everything and they see what's going on.
Sure.
My relating to my own situation, my wife was in the latest stages of her life, the death process. And I called up my niece, who is was an oncology nurse, and we were talking about the medication. I says, she's in a lot of pain. I says, we're not getting enough zing out of the medication. She says, increase it. I says, I don't know, that might kill her. He says, just increase it.
Right.
She said, you know, and I want to tell you something. This was not, a relative that was foreign to us. This is the little girl that we used to take everywhere when she was a baby, when she was a kid.
Sure, sure.
Loved this, loved my wife.
Right.
She loved her like a second mother.
Right.
And her attitude was, stop the pain. She's not going to get better.
Right.
And, you know, if it shortens a life by a day or two or whatever it is.
Right, right.
Let it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was out of that concern for your wife that she said that.
Absolutely. It was not callousness. It was care.
Right,
She cared about the situation.
Right, right.
So are we going to see more of these nurse practitioners?
Yes, yes. And doing more. And managing patients' care, both at home and in the office. And I would hope and project that I think that that's going to help bring costs down because...
I was going to ask the pecuniary question next.
Yeah.
And you think so?
Yes, yes. Because I think that if they can manage things early on in a better, more efficient way and make the patient more comfortable, there's going to be less return trips to the emergency room and less need for intervention and whatnot. I think it will happen. And I think it's happening, but I think you're going to see it happening in greater numbers.
Well, greater numbers and with less trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I don't want to be accused of the husband that didn't give a care. You know, I let this happen because I thought it was the better thing to do.
Yes, well, but you had the resources to reach out to and to get a trusted opinion. You know, the reality is going to be getting the public to become more aware that nurse practitioners can practice this way. Sometimes
also having the confidence to be proactive.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're under this aura of medical superiority.
Right.
And there's something called common sense.
Yes.
And that, you have to exercise it sometimes.
Right, right. And don't be afraid to ask questions and, challenge those that are looking after you.
Did you ever know me to be afraid to
I'm talking to your listeners, not to you.
No, you really do. You really do have to ask questions of those people who have some power over your life because otherwise they have more power than they deserve.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Boy, that was articulately put.
Yeah.
Can I write that down and say it another day?
Yeah, well, it's on tape. You can always.
It's always a pleasure to get people in front of me who have, specialized knowledge, specialized experience because it enriches the lives of everybody who hears it because, we get to be that much more savvy about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have I've assigned myself the duty of making sure you tell all that you know.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't have 17 years to do it. Or, this is an old joke, tell me everything you know, I got 10 minutes. I think it came from vaudeville. It's so old. Don't ask me how I know about vaudeville.
Yeah, you're giving it away.
Yeah. Well, it was a real pleasure, Kevin. I People like you, and the reason why I asked you to be on is because I asked you a question the other day at a forum, and you gave me an answer that sounded like an honest answer, instead of the usual gobbledygook that you get from people who feel like they're being attacked.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And number one, you didn't feel insecure enough to feel attacked. Number two, you were trained by the Jesuits to tell the truth.
Right.
Thank God for the Jesuits.
Absolutely.
Two of my best friends were Jesuits, and when I was a young guy, they had left the priesthood, but they still had that moral compass, man. They were just...
Oh, it's ingrained in us. It's ingrained.
Terrific guys.
Yeah.
And... So anyway, this is Ernie Fazio. I've been talking to Kevin Dayhill. He's the president of the Nassau Suffolk Hospital Council, and it's been a very enlightening period. This is Long Island News Radio, 103.9.